Sharing the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, letting you know that He loves you, He cares about you, and He wants to meet the need in your life. Welcome to the Lord's House and Messages on Demand. And now, today's message.
Now, Father, we thank you today for your blessings. We ask now, Father, your anointing upon the word as it goes forth today. Father, that it would touch hearts and lives, Father, of those that are listening to this program, Father, whether it be by internet or by CD or other means, Father. I pray, Father, the word as it goes forth convicts hearts and lives, Father. I ask it now in Jesus' name. Amen. In the year 1859, Charles Dickens wrote what became a well-known book, and even some of the lines from that book are quoted today. It was titled A Tale of Two Cities, and the book specifically was about London and Paris and the intertwined lives of people living in those two cities during the upheaval of the French Revolution. And a famous quote from the book is, "It was the best of times, it was the worst of times." I want us to think about that. In fact, I almost titled today's message, "It was the best of times, it was the worst of times." As we think about it, what's going on in your life today? How is your life going? Are you having good days? Are you having a bad day? Are you having people causing you problems? There's a lot of things that go on in our daily lives that we don't even think about sometimes. You know, the Bible tells us in Genesis 2:7, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Now, we're told in the New Testament that we are a tripart being. In other words, we are body, soul, and spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, the soul and spirit, sometimes we almost get them mixed up at the little confused sometimes as to which is which. They are so intertwined, so uniquely joined together. In fact, the Bible mentions something here in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. It says, "For the word of God is living and effective, and sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrating as far as the separation of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It is able to judge the ideas and thoughts of the heart." Only the Word of God can separate out these things. Now, our soul is basically our mind, our will, our emotion. Our spirit is our animating force. And then we have our body. And just like a lot of things we see in the world today, it has an expiration date. You know, with food items and other items, you may look on the label somewhere and you will see "best if used by" or "do not use after" by a particular date. Well, our body has an expiration date as well, but it's not stamped anywhere on our body. We don't know when that expiration date is. That's the thing, that we all live with the knowledge that it's going to take place, but when, but where, what, how? When will it come, the time to die? And I know many people, as they face death, they experience it in different ways. Some experience it with great fear in their life. Others experience it with great peace in their life. And that's kind of what we're going to be talking about today as we get into this message. I was just thinking there as I was mentioning that, I know a few years back as I was laying in the hospital and the doctor had already made the statement that he was surprised I was alive even. And basically, they didn't know if I was going to live or die. I had no fear. That's the biggest thing I remember about it, is I had no fear. Why? Because God was with me. And I knew that God was with me. And I had the peace that only God can give. But the majority of people, even a lot of Christians, fear death. Because the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. We're going to die, and then we're going to be judged. Now the spirit and soul are eternal. That's what's going to face judgment. The Bible goes on to tell us that this body that we dwell in today will go back to the dust from which it came. Now, I know today in many parts of the world, bodies are embalmed, just kind of like the ancient Egyptians did. They're embalmed, and you know, you can go back many, many years later, even hundreds of years in some cases, with the Egyptians, even thousands of years in the way they did it. And you can find that physical body, that physical shell that once walked the face of the earth. The Bible also goes on to tell us that our soul and our spirit has an eternal destination. You see, the soul and the spirit are not going back to the dust. They didn't come from the dust. God breathed into man that breath of life that made him a living soul, that made him that living mind, emotion, will, animating force. The body was just the dirt man that he had created. But our soul and our spirit have an eternal destination. Two futures, you might say. Which future is it going to be? Where will that soul, where will that spirit spend eternity? And how long is eternity? Well, you can't really put a time limit on eternity because it doesn't end. It's forever. Our soul, our spirit, will go on forever. And the Bible tells us that our soul, our spirit, are destined for one of two places, one of two futures. The one future that is possible is in heaven, the place where God lives. The other, well, people don't like to talk about it in most cases because it's the most prominent destination. Unfortunately, the one that most go to, hell. Yeah, you say that's a four-letter word. Yes, it is. It's not a pleasant place. Also known as Sheol, as Hades, as Gehenna. The very last part of the Bible, it talks about even this being tossed into a place called the lake of fire that burns forever and ever. In fact, Revelation chapter 20, verse 14 says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. It's a place of eternal separation from God. You know, I don't care if you're a Christian or not, in the sense that whatever is going on in your life right now, you still have that desire to have a relationship with God. Even the most devout atheist, somewhere down in that soul, there's that longing somewhere down in that spirit to have a relationship with the Creator, with God. Because of sin that entered into the world, the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve both disobeyed what God had told them and ate of the tree, the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they were put on the road to a future in that place called hell. The Bible plainly tells us in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. I want you to think about it. God did not intend for man to die. We were not created to die. That is why we have an eternal soul. That's why we have an eternal spirit, because God did not create us to die. But because of the sin that entered into the world, there in the garden, our road was now leading to a future in a place called hell. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All, A-L-L, every last man, woman, child on this earth have sinned. You're born into sin. And we're on that road to that future place called hell. It's not future for those that have already died. It's present tense. But if you're living today, it is still a possible future for you, a future which can be changed. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, verses 13 through 14, tells us you can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad, and its gate is wide for the many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow, and the road is difficult, and only a few ever find it. That's sad, but it's truth. Literally every day, thousands and thousands of people go into that future called hell, and there is no coming back from it. No. People can't pray you out of there. Your family can't do penance. Your family can't pay a fee and get you out. Once you're there, you're there. It's an eternal life sentence of which there is no parole. There is no getting off for good behavior. Oh, I know there are some who will boldly tell you that they're looking forward to this future in that place called hell so they can party with their friends. Going to have a good time down there, sipping martinis, taking dope, partying with my friends, living it up. First of all, your friends aren't going to be your friends anymore. Chances are you'll never see them again. It's going to be a place of misery, a place of torment. It is not a place of pleasure. Jesus in the Gospels tells us the story of the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man doing well, living the life. Lazarus, the beggar who begged for crumbs outside the rich man's gate. Lazarus dies and goes to a place called paradise. The rich man dies and goes to a place called hell, called Sheol in the Old Testament. And it says, in hell he lifted up his eyes. And in Luke chapter 16, verse 28, because he could see across the great gulf that separated the two compartments into the place called paradise. And there he cried out to Abraham, can't you just send Lazarus back? Send him back so he can be a witness. Let's read what it says in 16:28. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Torment. It was not a party place. It was not a happy place. It was not a place he wanted his family members to come to. Just send him back. And there are probably souls who are in hell today that are crying out, God, if you can hear me, send someone to witness to my family members so that they don't end up here in this place of torment. Jesus goes on to say in Mark chapter 9, verse 43, if your hand cause you to sin, cut it off. It's better to enter eternal life with only one hand than to go into the unquenchable fires of hell with two hands. He goes on to say in verse 45, if your foot cause you to sin, cut it off. It's better to enter eternal life with only one foot than to be thrown into hell with 2 feet. Then in verses 47 and 48 he says, and if your eye cause you to sin, gouge it out. That sounds horrible, doesn't it? It's better to enter the kingdom of God with only one eye than to have 2 eyes and be thrown into hell, where the maggots never die and the fire never goes out. We are told that this is the eternal future for all evil. That's the future that multitudes are on the road to today. And even as I speak these words, and as you listen to these words, even at a different time, literally thousands are going into that future. It's the eternal future for all evil. Revelations 20, verse 10 says, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night, forever and ever. Even Satan himself is going to be cast into the lake of fire. Yes, right now he's the big boss of hell. He's the big boss down there. But one of these days his eternal future is going to be just like all the rest, because death, hell, and the grave are going to be cast into that lake of fire, where they will be tormented day and night, forever and ever. The Bible also tells us in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. The Bible tells us that there are two judgments. It tells us that there is the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat that those that are going to heaven will stand before and be judged for what they did, how they lived their life. And then, in chapter 20, verses 11 through 12 of the book of Revelation, we're told of that final judgment, the great white throne judgment, which is for those who traveled to that eternal future called hell. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. I want to remind you here, as they stand before God in this place, God is not a God of mercy at this point. He is a God of eternal judgment. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And then it goes on down in verses 14 and 15, it says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. In other words, eternal separation from God. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. A future that holds no hope. But while we're still here on planet Earth, and even though things may not be going the best for us, even though we may be having a tough day, even though we may be going through hard times, we still have a chance for a better future. We have a better chance for that other future that we have the possibility of going to, a much different future. A future that Jesus talked about in John chapter 14, beginning with verses 1 through 3. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. I know that the King James Version says mansions. Most other translations say dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Jesus has said, in my Father's house, there's lots of room, there's lots of places, and I'm going to go fix a place for you if you believe in me. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there may ye be also. Jesus has said, I'm going to fix up a place for you. All you've got to do is believe in me, accept what I've done on the cross. Accept that I paid the price for your salvation. If you accept that, and I come to dwell in your heart, then you're going to this future, a future of eternal bliss. The Apostle John was given a vision in the book of Revelation, chapter 21, seeing the things that would happen at the very last of time. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride trimmed for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, neither crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the first things are past. A description of a future that is the polar opposite of the other. that place called hell that has eternal torment. And I want to interject just a moment here. There are some people preaching today that hell doesn't exist, but God said it does. And if you believe in God at all, you've got to believe that there's a hell. I don't care if the current Pope decided there wasn't. He needs to get his heart right with God. I urge you to read the rest of this chapter, Revelation chapter 21. We don't have time to read it here on the program today. So, we have a tale of two futures. One future, you're born into, you might say. You're on that pathway when you're born. And unfortunately, as we have read here, discussed, it's not a pleasant future. It ends. Well, really it doesn't end, but it leads to a place of eternal torment. Not a good future. And the other future, the one we just talked about, leads to living eternally in the pleasures and joy and peace of God. Living as sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father. Joint heirs, the Bible tells us, with His Son, Jesus Christ. So how do you get on that path to that future? That future with God. That future where heaven is where you will spend eternity. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, and that truth, and that life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. First of all, you're not going to get there by praying to Buddha. You're not going to get there by following Muhammad. You're not going to get there by following after Confucius or some other Eastern religion. You're not going to get there by following after some tribal religion or God, but only through Jesus Christ. John chapter 3, verse 16, the most famous scripture in the Bible says, For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The only one capable of paying the price that would cover your sins, pay the price for them, that you could have that eternal life in heaven with Jesus Christ and with God. Romans 10:13 goes on to say, For the wages of sin is death. It's death, it's eternal separation from God. Your soul, your spirit's going to cry out, I want to die. But there is no death in that sense. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. It's a gift. Jesus paid the price for it. He gave us the best gift mankind could ever have. He paid the price on the cross of Calvary, where there He was crucified, His blood was shed, that it would cover your sins, that it would be the sin offering. John chapter 19, verse 30 says, When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, He said, It is finished. And He bowed His head and gave up the ghost. The soul, the spirit left that physical body. It was buried in a tomb hours later. Oh, but on the third day, the scripture tells us, they went back to do what they needed to do to the body. And it wasn't there. Jesus had risen from the dead. He now had that new resurrected body, that eternal body. His spirit, his soul were reunited with that physical, that spiritual body that he had had before in heaven. Yes, it still bears the scars, it still bears the nail prints, it still bears the spear mark in the side, the nail holes in the feet. But he's alive, and he paid the price. So let's recap here. You're born into this world, and you're born into a future that because of sin is not a good future. If we do nothing, our future destination is hell. And there's nothing that will save us from it other than Jesus Christ. So you can change that future and put yourself into that future where heaven is your destination. You can do it by accepting what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross of Calvary. And you might say, well, how do I do it? It's just simple. And I want to remind you, you don't do this flippantly. Don't just say, okay, I'll do this, and then I can go on and live my life. But from the heart, from the innermost parts of your soul and your spirit, you pray a prayer somewhat like this. Dear Jesus, I realize I'm a sinner. My future isn't good. It's a disaster. It's eternal separation from you and all that's good. Dear Jesus, please cover my sin with your blood that was shed on the cross so that my future can be changed and that I can have a future with you in God's presence for all eternity. I confess my sins to you. I ask you into my heart. Thank you, Jesus, for paying the price for me. I accept you into my heart and life, and I promise to live for you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you prayed that prayer, would you let us know? The announcer is going to give an email address. Just send us an email. Let us know if you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. We'd love to hear that. No, we're not going to ask you for money. We're not going to ask you for anything. We just want to know if you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Would you let us know?
Thank you for listening. We hope that you have been blessed by this message and that you will invite your friends to listen. If you would like to contact us, please visit our website at www.tlhf.us. You can also contact us by email at pastor@tlhf.us or by post at the Lord's House at P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Messages on Demand is a Didaskalos production and a ministry of the Lord's House Fellowship Incorporated.